Welcome back to Breakfast with Champions. I am Sean Galvin, and you are listening to a podcast put out by Champions of Wayne, a nonprofit organization dedicated to maximizing achievement and opportunities for youth in Wayne, Michigan. Today's episode is an interview with 2015 Wayne Memorial graduate and Gates Millennial Scholar Navreet Bangu, who just wrapped up her first year at Michigan State University. Navreet is the daughter of Indian immigrants who came to America seeking a better life for Navreet and her sisters. She is the first in her family to attend college, and she is a great sport for being open to the idea of recording a podcast, even though I gave her absolutely no advance notice. The format for the interview is a quick life story, a look into Navreet's Gates Millennium application process, and an analysis of her first year at MSU. Enjoy. And okay, we are recording a good late morning, everyone. Champions of Wayne podcast, Breakfast with Champions. I am Sean Galvin here with 2015 graduate Navreet Bangu. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is your first time ever being on a podcast, yes. Right? Does it make you nervous?
Kind of.
All right, well, I'm going to move this a little bit closer to you so that we don't need to speak overly loud.
Okay.
So Navreet, can you give us... You and I were just talking a little bit about kind of your background.
Yeah.
Parents moved here from India.
Yeah.
And lived in Canton until about the third grade.
Yeah, until I was in third grade.
And then parents divorced.
Yep.
You moved to Wayne.
Yep.
And you went to Wayne West End School ever since. How challenging was school for you going through, let's say, high school?
I wouldn't say high school was as challenging. I think I kind of got through high school kind of easily. But I think the challenging part was just being motivated because I came from a background where a parent didn't go to college.
Yeah.
I think that was the hardest part, is like having to seek out opportunities, having to, you know, do things on my own that my mom didn't ever do because, like, she had no background in it. So really, I was the one of the family who had to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest challenge in high school.
And so you had to be proactive in...
Yeah.
Activities, yeah, and then also choosing your friends.
Yeah, it was hard to choose your friends because, like, it kind of was like I knew that I was self motivated, but like I knew like what kind of friends I always wanted to be around.
Sure.
Because like I could tell like, oh, I won't mesh, like my interests won't mesh with this kind of person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like, I mean, like, that was kind of a hard part too. I guess socially, it's kind of hard when you come from a background where, you know, your mom doesn't know much or doesn't really tell you, like, these are the kind of friends you should make.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, like, yeah.
So you had to figure this out on your own. And when you were saying that having a younger sister might have been kind of helpful with that?
Yeah, I think having a younger and older sister helped. Like, I saw that my older sister, even though she wasn't as bright as in high school, I mean, she went to college and totally changed that around. Like, she's doing great in college.
Nice.
And then I have my younger sister. Like, I always wanted to be, like, a good example for her.
Because,
like, she was the youngest one. And I know she's seen, like, my sister struggle. And I wanted her to have, like, some kind of balance in the family of someone who has been through it.
Yeah, yeah.
So she could have someone to look up to, or when she has questions, she has someone in her family.
Have you heard of a trailblazer before?
No.
So a trailblazer, and I'm not sure if I'm going to get the exact definition correct, but this is like, so if you look at a forest, oftentimes a forest might have a trail through it.
Yeah.
Well, someone's got to blaze that trail.
Yeah.
Like the trail doesn't just show up.
Yeah.
You know, so someone's got to be the one where, like, I'm going into the woods and I'm going to chop down this stuff. I'm going to make it so that others can follow me and they'll know the path to take. And the trail is not going to go off a cliff or into harm's way, into a lion's den.
Yeah.
It's going to be safe, and it's going to get you to where you want to go.
Yeah.
And so, in a lot of ways, that's a metaphor for what you're doing for your sister, and I guess for others that want to look up to you, which is really cool. By the way. So, you were part of Upper Bound.
Yep.
And you were the, I think we had a run going there of four students in 3 years to receive a Gates Millennium Scholarship. So can you just kind of walk us through that experience? Why did you choose to apply? Did you expect to get it? And then what was it like when you got, like put us in the room with you when you got the word that you got that?
Okay, so I applied to the Gates Millennium Scholarship because, honestly, where I am today, like, if I wasn't for the scholarship, I don't think I would have gone to state or gone away. Because, like, just the funds were not there for my family. And I just, like, I felt guilty, like, you know, taking away the money my mom has to pay all the bills.
Uh-huh.
So just, like, kind of a guilty feeling. So I knew that that if I didn't get that, I wouldn't have, like, gone to state.
Sure.
So,
yeah, I asked you a lot of questions. So you chose to apply because you were eligible and
yeah.
because it would be wonderful.
And I kind of wanted to, like, show, like, my mom, like, I did so, like, hard work. Like, I do deserve to go away. Like, I just... It was so hard to tell my mom all the time, like, Mom, I deserve to go away. Like, when I got into Michigan or when that happened, it was just still, like, you know, the funds aren't there. And I was like, Mom, like, I worked so hard in high school. I don't want to just, you know, stay
so
here.
So she was also very, like, pumped the brakes on all these hopes and dreams because there's a price tag
yeah,
here.
That's
a very real thing.
Yeah, it was always like that.
Okay. And so had you not gotten this or other scholarships... It would have all been...
It would have just... Yeah, either I would have to, like, really try to go there again, or just I would have to go to, like, maybe, like, Eastern or something, like, close by that, like, my mom could afford.
And you could live at home.
Yeah.
And you could do that, which isn't wrong.
Yeah, it's not wrong. It's just not what I wanted for myself.
Sure.
I kind of wanted to go away. I kind of wanted to just be more, have more freedom and do what I wanted to do. And I always have wanted to go to a big school. Like, that's just always been my dream.
Yeah.
And I worked so hard in high school to have a goal, like, to work towards that goal.
Uh-huh.
I feel like at the end, when everything great was happening, I didn't want to just, like, make it stop and, like, go to, like, a small school. Like, that just wasn't my dream.
Yeah, yeah. So, who told you about the Gates Millennium Scholarship?
Tomlinson.
Yeah. who is the former
mm-hmm.
Mrs. Breskell, for those that are
yeah.
new to the area.
Yeah.
And so she encouraged you to apply.
Yeah. I remember it was my, like, sophomore year summer. She called me into her office and was telling me about Sam Ekinem.
Yeah.
And she was telling me about him, and she was like, she came in, she just printed out the whole application. She was like, just look at it. You don't need to apply right now. It's not time, but just look at it.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's when I knew. That's when, like, I found, like, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to work towards for the next 2 years. Like,
yeah.
This is, like...
So you were locked in on it.
Yeah.
I'm making that happen.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, so that's paying for your tuition for 4 years of a bachelor's.
4 years bachelor's. There's certain master's programs they pay for. They don't pay for, unfortunately, not medical school, but I'm okay with that. They're doing so much right now.
Okay.
They do certain master's, and they can go up to your PhD in certain
wow.
areas. Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're part of, I think it's like the last or maybe the second to last cohort of Gates Millennium winners.
Yeah, this year was the last one.
And so what's up? Did Gates run out of money or something? Or how
I think it was just like they were going to do it for 20 years. I think that was their
cap. Okay.
They were going to do it for 20 years.
Okay. And so they're probably doing something different now. They're still spending money on...
Yeah. I know they're doing something different. I don't know what it's called. I'm still, like, looking into it, but they are doing something different, but I don't know what it is.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, to apply for the Gates Millennium, that's not exactly like give us your name and phone number and date of birth. Like, there's a little bit more to it, correct?
It was rigorous. It was harder than any college application. There was like 8 essays, and like I worked on those essays, I think for like not even a year. Like I did it. I started right after junior year got out,
uh-huh.
and I submitted it. It still took me months and months of editing and revisions, and I submitted like a week. A couple days before it was actually due. Like, my essays were, like, it was very extraneous, I guess you could say.
Sure.
And then
on
top of that, like, you wanted to put your extracurriculars, your awards, and you want to put it in a way that you can show who you really are.
Yeah.
And, like, you had to limit them to, like, 5 awards or 6 awards.
So which ones do you choose and which ones do you
do? That was the hard part to decide.
Sophie's choice.
Yeah. It was very hard to decide, like, which one should I choose to make it look like sell myself, because these people don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You really are explaining who you are and what you want to do with your life through these essays.
Uh-huh.
And you want to move them through your essays. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, and there's a lot of competition, too.
Yeah.
I don't think there's, you know...
I think, like, 50,000 people applied in my year, and only 1,000 get in.
So 1 out of 50, those are your odds.
Actually,
you've got a 2% chance of pulling this thing off. So there's got to be a voice in your mind that when you're hammering on these essays or whatever, that's like, there's got to be a voice. It might not be overly loud, but that says, hey, the odds aren't very good. So why don't we just...
Thankfully,
not do this anymore.
Thankfully, I had, like, Crystal Fletcher. Remember her?
Yeah.
I had her, like, she goes to Michigan. We were close when she was in high school.
Yeah.
And so I always, like, reached out to her when, like, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, she was really motivating, was like, just push through. Like, I worked so hard for this. Like, I got it, and I'm so happy now. And she was just, she kind of pushed me through the whole process. She would, like, edit, like, read my essays and tell me what sounded weird or what sounded just something that I could make it better, because she's so good at writing.
So you were close with someone who had just played the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And was living proof that this can happen.
Yeah.
And so she blazed a trail for you.
Yeah.
Talking
Crystal, yeah, that's true. I always tell Crystal she's my role model.
Oh, that
always
is really
tell her.
Cool. That is really cool. I should call her, by the way. I should talk to her a lot. Okay, nice. So then, application goes in, we're going to ignore the knock on the door there. And then you get word back, what, like?
So you submit in January, and then there's like a, you become a finalist.
Uh-huh.
And that you, you're, what they do is when you want to be a finalist, they review your application.
Uh-huh.
So what they, like, I think that way I found out about that in March, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was March. And I found out, like, you follow, like, this, like, this, like, group chat or whatever
yeah.
on Facebook, and they say, like, I didn't know. Okay, this is the crazy part. So what you do is they're like, you guys can check online the portal and it says you're a finalist. But then someone said, that's not true. You can't believe that. And like, I was in class one day and I just checked and it said finalist, but I kept it in because someone said it might not be true.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'm not gonna say anything yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was just like, I don't want to like say it and not be true.
Right.
So then I went home and I just didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell anyone.
You bottled it up?
I had to because I was like, but it's not true. And then the next day, like they sent out the emails and that's when I was like, I don't know how I'm a finalist. It was like, I was sitting at home, like, an email came, and I was freaking out. Like, I couldn't even, my mom came, like, as my mom came in through the door, that's when I was reading the email.
Uh-huh.
It was so crazy.
So then your odds go from, like, 1 out of 50 to, what, 1
yeah.
out of
in the finalist, the first part of the process, they review your application. The second part, they just want to see if you're eligible for, like, Pell Grant and, like, that kind of
oh,
stuff.
Oh, sure, okay.
They don't review your application. They've seen your application. They like you enough to make you to the finalist.
Uh-huh.
After that, they just want to see if you're eligible for, like, Pell Grant and, like, the other stuff that you have to be eligible
yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's when your odds go up a lot.
Okay.
That's when I told Crystal I was a finalist. She was like, you are good. Like, she was like, you're going to get this. I know you are. She was like, after, if you're eligible, like, you have, it's like a 80% chance you'll, 90% chance you'll get it.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I was like, I was still, like, wary about it. I was like, I'm not going to
get it. Oh, yeah, you can't count those chickens until they
hatch. I know. Just
because
someone tells me I can't think it's, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah, yeah.
I know they send it around the same time every year. Like, I think the week of April 17th, they always send it.
So you're like.
And that whole week, I can tell you, I didn't sleep that whole week. I was like, it's going to come this week. It's going to come. And it was like a Facebook.
And it's like a letter that's in the mail that
yes,
they send?
Yes, I still have it. they have, like.
Stalking that post
now. Yeah. there's like a whole, like, Facebook, like, Grace Millennium applicant group, and they, everyone posts on there, and, like, I remember it was, like, the day before, like, Crystal got it last year, the people, like, people from, I think, like, California were posting they got it, and I was, like, oh, my God, like, they're already getting
so
it.
So now it's coming.
Yeah, and then I was, like, I'm excited, it would have to come tomorrow if that's the case if they're getting it. They send them out by, like, each ethnicity. Like the, cause like
oh, really?
Like,
they break it down racially?
They do, like, I mean, there's, like, different groups. Like, in the Gates one, there's, like, HP, there's, like, a Hispanic one. There's an Asian Pacific Islander one. So they send them out when they have their decision.
Do they have, like, different quotas? Like, we're gonna give the scholarship to this many Indians?
So I think they do the most to African Americans. I think they do, like, 300, 400 Asian Pacific Islanders. And that's what
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have, like, little subgroups in the whole process.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that whole week, I was like, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't focus on school. I was like, it's going to come. It's either a rejection letter or an acceptance letter.
But a letter's coming.
Yeah,
coming
something's through. Coming. And then Friday, I was just came from school, and, like, I kept checking the Facebook. But it was, like, on my mind the whole day. People were getting posting it.
You can't think of anything.
Yeah, people kept posting it. And then I was like, oh, my God, it's still not here. And I was just sitting at home. And it was so depressing, but I had to go to work, and it was just like, I probably didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day, I had an AP Calc, like, practice exam.
Uh-huh.
I remember it was, like, I think it was April 17th, and it was, like, I had an AP Calc practice exam, and I went there, and I was, like, it was still on my mind, but I was, like, I have to practice exam, so I just took it.
This is a Saturday now?
Yeah.
So this is a Saturday, and you just happen to be doing AP Calc stuff.
Because Mr. Freeman.
You're that motivated of a kid. Cool.
Mr. Freeman had it that day. Oh, so I go there. And then I come back home, and it's, like, there's nothing in the mail. So I'm just, like, okay, it has to come these, like, it has to come today. Like, this is the last
day.
And then I was just sitting there, I'm like, okay, it's either a small one if you don't get it, and it's a huge one if you do get in.
Yeah.
So then I was, like, the mail wasn't here, so I was, like, I can't do anything now. So I just, like, took a nap, and I woke up. And I was the only one home, and my mom and sisters weren't home. So then I just woke up, and, like, the mail was there, and, like, that's when I saw the letter, and I was like, okay, I was just, like, running around, like, it was a huge letter, and I knew, like,
so it was, like, a big, like not your standard 8.5 by 11 trifold. This is huge.
Yeah, it was a huge.
To that's
big
a
fold.
That's a big envelope to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I couldn't even open it at the point. I was just so excited. I couldn't even open it for, like, at least an hour.
So you let this thing sit there sealed,
was,
and you knew.
I was just
100%.
Calling, like, I called Crystal, I called Miss Tomlinson.
You didn't open it.
Like, I knew. I just couldn't. I was, like, shaking. It was so amazing.
Wow.
That was, like, by myself, so no one was at home, so I was, like, calling everyone. Like, I think Crystal was the first one who picked up, and then, like, my mom, and then Miss Tomlinson.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so we're going to, for the sake of keeping this podcast to about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you get the scholarship, decide on Michigan State.
Yeah.
Can you give me a quick, maybe 30 seconds of what about Michigan State? and why not a different school?
Okay, so very quickly, I was actually a Michigan fan. Like, I just wanted to go to Michigan. I got in. That was my goal. And then what happened was I toured the two schools, and I toured Michigan for Michigan State. At Michigan, I did a summer camp in Michigan too, and I just felt very I didn't feel like I belonged there. And that's a very big thing. Like, where I want to go to school, I want to feel like I can thrive there. I can, really grow up into the woman I want to be.
Sure.
And then I went to Michigan State. I did a tour, and it was so welcoming. Like, random students would come and ask you, what are you, what's going to be your major? What do you plan on doing? It was just such a nice atmosphere. And then I was that just kind of sold it for me, where I feel comfortable enough to thrive and be challenged and still go to such a great school. That was, the design.
So it just felt right.
Yeah, wherever it felt right.
Which is so funny to me, because I was talking to Sharon about that, and I was asking her, so what do you want to get out of this visit? She had never been there, and really, she didn't have an answer, because that's a tough question to answer. And then really, we just kind of settled on, she just wanted to feel the vibe, and just kind of be there and try to imagine herself there.
Yeah, I couldn't.
And then on the drive back, she was saying like I could picture like me in my backpack and walking here and going
that's
to class, I would want to get an umbrella. Wow.
I did it. It's just, I don't know, Michigan State just has this very friendly vibe, and everyone is always encouraging you. There's not that competition feeling. It's just everyone's willing to help you. No, everyone wants you to be successful. And that's one big thing I really wanted in school. I didn't want to feel so competitive with my peers. I wanted them to.
And I wonder if that's the case. I've heard that. So I went to state for my undergrad.
Yeah.
And I heard that at the U of M's or the Stanford's, that it's a little bit more about competition, and whereas MSU might be a little bit more about collaboration.
Yeah, it is. I think that's a big thing. I know Crystal kind of told me stuff like that too, how U of M is really competitive.
Uh-huh.
After just being there and seeing the feel for it, that's how I felt. It's a beautiful school. It's just that's not where I want. Even after my whole life, that's all I wanted to do.
But then
the time came, and I just it just felt right at MSU. I just felt there was opportunities that I could take advantage of, where people could support me, and I wouldn't have to feel like my friend next to me is always in a competition with me. We're helping each other to reach the same goal.
Does the name Draymond Green mean anything to you?
Okay, that's one of the players, right?
He played basketball at State a couple of years ago, and now he's on the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. He's my favorite guy. But I'm impressed that you even got player. We'll stop right there. But anyway, that's a side topic. All right, so you choose State, you got the gates, and let's say it like this. What if you could go back and do freshman year over again, would you do anything differently? And if so, what would you do differently?
I think my first semester, I isolated myself kind of. It was just kind of stuck to myself. I wish I wouldn't have done that my first semester, because it is college. And I feel since it was it was socially hard to adapt to the culture around the college.
Yeah, so you went in there blind, right?
Yeah.
And you got a roommate?
Yeah.
And you lived in what, Case Hall, was it?
Holmes Hall.
Holmes Hall. Oh, that's where Colin is,
yep.
Right? Oh, you're in the same dorm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That you know someone there. okay. And then you went in as a somewhat shy kid?
Yeah.
Would that be safe to say you were shy?
Plus, I've been away from home, but it was, two weeks at a time for, a summer camp. But
yeah,
it wasn't for this long periods of time. I am such a family person.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my hardest thing. I felt so homesick my first semester.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I wish I would have gone out and, with my friends, or take advantage instead of just staying in and kind of, isolating myself.
Because mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what really is that's what I wanted to go away for, is to make the college experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like that's one thing where I kind of would just have to go back and change.
And so there are opportunities. MSU reaches out to their
mm-hmm.
students and tries their best
mm-hmm.
to make, especially incoming freshmen, aware of all the different clubs and activities
that's
and organizations.
So
there's an event called Sparticipation.
I went there.
You went to that?
Yeah.
Which, I went to that too. Back in my day, it was called Party at the Aw. It was at the auditorium. My mom was still there. But it was all these, and I just felt overwhelmed.
Yeah,
there's 200 different organizations.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It's
how do you pick one?
Yeah, it was so hard to pick. I mean, I think I joined a cultural one,
uh-huh.
and I joined a pre-med just because I am pre-med, and I just thought it would be nice to be surrounded with those kind of people, in high school, surrounded by the people who are just as motivated.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of joined that, and I also joined this one program, the Osteopathic Medical Scholars Program,
mm-hmm.
which is a crazy program. I don't even know how I got presented. Like, I think lots of high schoolers should apply.
Yeah.
I just wanted to surround myself with people who are the same kinds of interests as me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still so much. I'm still looking to find more fun clubs to join.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely something I'm going to look more into next year.
Sure. And do you have plans to live in the dorms again?
No, I'm actually living in an apartment.
Oh, what?
Where?
Yeah.
Do you know where Cedar Village is?
Yes, I know Cedar Village. Yeah,
yeah, I'm living there.
Okay. Yeah. That's a fun place to be.
Yeah.
And then if the S goes down,
yeah,
it's going down at Cedar Village.
Yeah. That's true.
In fact, my freshman year was the 2000 national championship.
Really?
For the basketball team. And so as soon as the game was over, everyone just ran.
I didn't get to experience March Madness this year.
Well, that was devastating.
It was dead on campus. Like, no, like, it was just nothing happened that day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A day of mourning.
Yeah, it really was.
Maybe the biggest upset in college basketball history. But this is not a sports time.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what about, and we kind of talked a little bit about this before, but the challenge of being a successful high school student, active high school student,
yeah,
had a lot of interpersonal relationships here, had a lot of trust built with,
yeah,
a lot of adults here, as well as students.
Yeah.
And then to go to Michigan State, where you kind of have to start over.
Yeah.
You kind of have to start over from square one, mm-hmm, and start building these trusting relationships,
yeah,
again. And you can't just trust a stranger.
Yeah.
That takes time, right? So,
yeah.
Talk to me about those.
I think that was honestly one of the hardest parts. That's the one biggest thing I missed from high school, is like coming from from a small school, I think I would say, where everyone knows everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to this like school with 50,000 students. It's hard to find like professors where you can relate to. And here, like, I had Mr. Kangas, I had like Mr. Dodds, like, I had these teachers that like I would just go eat lunch with, or I could like talk about like my personal life and still feel like this is like an academic setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like at the college level, that was hard. Like, I mean, it's hard to go to your professor's office hours if they even have time. And I feel like that was the hardest part for me, like, to make relationships, because like, it kind of, like, for at school, I felt so comfortable. Like, I never felt, like, weird to come here, like, talk,
mm-hmm,
to my teachers. And I feel like that's something I want to have at State.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, the hardest part. That was, like, I didn't have, like, the people to talk to when I am away from home.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was, like, the hardest thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that there's, as I talk to students going to college and I look back at my own experiences, I think that there's a major difference between being proactive and being reactive.
Yeah.
And how reactive, you know, I think you go to high school, you can show up,
yeah,
and then just kind of be reactive throughout
yeah,
the day, and you have to interact with
and
these
your teachers, still
teachers
care,
and
you
that's
know,
their job is,
yeah,
to get to know you and,
mm-hmm,
to do all this. And then I think to go to college, if you're not proactive,
yeah,
in establishing these relationships,
yeah,
it just won't happen.
I think I got really close to my chem professor.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we got, like, she wrote me, like, a recommendation. She did a lot of stuff for me. I think that's how we got close. I think we got close because I did struggle first, and, like, on the first exam, and, like, I met with her, and, like, that's how we really got close. And, like, she's been there throughout this whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, someone I've been, like, really, like, I admire her, like, to be, like, a mom away from home, honestly. Like, she's such a great person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, how I've been trying to make up for it. But, like, you still do miss, like, these relationships. Like, you see these people every day. Like,
mm-hmm,
these teachers every day. Like, anytime, they're always available to talk to.
Right.
Or just, like, help you in any way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, Cedar Village apartment, you got roommates?
Yes, I do.
And who are they?
They're actually sophomores. They're a year ahead of me.
Okay.
But there's another girl who's in the medical program with me.
Ah.
Another girl who's pre-med. And another girl who's doing engineering.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
okay. We're
all very, like, academically driven.
Those are motivated students. Right,
yeah.
There. So as we talk about the five chimps theory,
mm-hmm,
that is, it seems to be surrounding
yourself
with some very motivated.
Because my roommate, I mean, she was, like, bright enough, but I guess she didn't apply herself enough this year.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, we got along great. We never argued or anything. It's just, like, for me, like, I could not live with her again because she is, like, not as motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, one thing I decided. Like, I can't live with someone who's like that because,
mm-hmm,
I just, like, I mean, like, going out and stuff is fun and stuff. Like, she did it, like, every weekend. And for me, like, I would stay and study if I had to, you know?
Yeah.
For her, she wasn't like that. I feel like she's a great person. She's, like, fun to talk to. She's, like, an awesome friend. But, like, I couldn't live with someone like that again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they will rub off on you.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I just,
like, that will happen no matter what.
I don't have time to rub.
Ain't got no time for that. So, we're going to wrap this up here. Here's a question that might be challenging to answer. Freshman orientation,
yeah,
is at Michigan State throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say, hypothetically, they had a big billboard right in front of, let's say, Case Hall. I think that's where they do,
yeah,
everything. Case and Wonders and,
yep,
those over there. and So you've got a big billboard that every incoming freshman is going to see.
Yeah.
What words do you put on that billboard?
What words?
Yeah, or you get one message to send to this year's incoming
freshman.
Can
I just give like a message?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I think
you can.
The biggest thing is come in with an open mind. I think that's one thing that I've struggled with. Like, I always have this plan that I want to do, like, but plans are always changing. Plans will never stay. Like, I was like, I'm going to major in this. I'm going to go to med school. This, like, stuff. Like, so much has changed in 1 year that I think, like, just have a plan. Come in with, you have some kind of a plan.
Right.
But come in with an open mind because college is such a new atmosphere.
Yeah.
You want to be open to do these things. Like, you don't want to just stick to a plan and, like, you know, and then another thing is pursue your passion.
Yeah.
Your 4 years of undergrad is, like, where you pursue your passion. I could have been, like, any other pre-med student and major in biology, like every other student.
Yeah.
But I chose to major in kinesiology because I am interested in sports and, like, medicine and that kind of stuff.
Sure,
and I feel like, come in, like, these are your only 4 years where you can study whatever you want to study.
Yeah.
Don't, just because you want to do a certain thing when you grow up, you don't have to major in just that thing. Like, just have an open mind, you know. That's, like, my biggest thing.
That's great. Yeah. So, open mind and have a plan, but it can't be ironclad.
Don't just
it can't
stick
be concrete.
To
you've got to allow for
that's
some movement.
That's what I was studying. That's what stopped me in my first semester. They had this plan, like, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do, like, I just had it so, like, down to the year, and I was like, this is just, everything, so much changes in 1 year. I don't know how much will change next year, you know?
Yeah.
So it just, stuff is always changing. Like, don't just, if that plan's probably not going to stick to that.
Sure.
And be open to, like, new relationships and new friends. Because, like, don't try to, like, what I did was I isolated myself. Like, when I could have isolated, like, really opened up people on my floor. And I didn't start doing that till my second semester.
I was kind of like that, too. My door was closed a lot.
Yeah.
And as I look back, I'm like, why did I do
that?
Yeah,
my second semester, I actually started, like, talking to people. And they're, like, such, like, there were some people who were pre-med just like me. Like, we lived in, like, Lyman Briggs. It's, like, old pre-health professional hall, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone, like, I don't know why I didn't go out more, like, even talk to these people more. Because they were, like, some great people that I left, like, good relationships with in May.
Uh-huh. Very cool. Well, thank you for the time. For your first podcast experience, I thought you were wonderful, and I know that there's going to be some current seniors and 11th graders and 10th graders that'll listen to this and maybe get a little clearer picture.
They can talk to me anytime. I want to help people. I want to help them, like, because, like, I was doing this by myself, you know, like, I help Nikki all the time. I'm like, Nikki, you need to do this, like,
yeah,
you know. So if they ever need advice, I'm here.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Yeah. Signing off. Take care.